Matt Rose is the Global Director of Application Security Strategy at Checkmarx. In other words, Mr. Rose knows a thing or two about securing applications. The things we know about over at the server side are things like Java development, cloud computing, DevOps, continuous integration, and cloud-native development. So the first thing I wanted to know from Matt was, how does security fit into this new age of software development, agile methodologies, and continuous delivery of code?
It's pretty easy. So, I mean, you know, history lesson. I mean, I actually gave a talk yesterday in Toronto that talked specifically about this, where previously when you're on waterfall methodologies all the way through, especially on the software development side of the house, you had, you know, predefined blocks. You know, you'd code for a few months and then release, and you'd have your testing phases. And then they said, that's not really effective. You need to push left. So they tried to put it in between, you know, develop and test, and that would work pretty well. But now development and test are kind of one and the same with the agile-based methodologies that everyone's rolling to. So the key way, and especially with the limited security professionals mapping to the large population of development personnel, integration and automation are the only way you can actually integrate. And that includes every step of the process, from the developer coding in their IDE to integrating with the source code repositories or with the continuous build systems. And that's the only way that it's effective. Otherwise, you're being reactionary, not proactionary, for finding the security vulnerabilities in your applications.
So what are some of the most common software bugs that you see in applications that expose security vulnerabilities today?
There's a lot of different variables for that. One is the complexity of application these days. I mean, the vulnerabilities, you can be very versed in security and still miss things, because a lot of times, say, five harmless things in your application, say erroneous error handling or some privacy violations in terms of dumping data to a log file, all are kind of, you know, agnostic to each other. They're not that big a deal, but when you have them all together, then a formulated attack can happen. And those are very hard to identify. But to kind of take it a step, you know, a little higher, developer understanding of all the ramifications of what they're doing is what I kind of see as a major issue. They're coding for the spec, the functional requirement of the application, and they think once they've had that functional spec completed that they're done. But they don't realize it does exactly what it's supposed to, but it does other things as well, other things it's not supposed to do. So really thinking about it is going outside the kind of intended purpose of that functionality. And that's where they have a very short time frame to understand and code and meet that functional requirement. And then once it's in production, the hackers have unlimited time and resources to think about a way to leverage something that you only had, you know, maybe a week to program. So developer knowledge is a huge thing. The complexity of the applications is what I see as really a major kind of challenge to any development staff.
I recently spoke with an industry expert who said that a DevOps approach to software development leads to more bugs, maybe smaller bugs, but more of them. Spoke to another industry expert who said that with a DevOps approach to software development and continuous delivery, we're seeing fewer bugs. So which one is it? Are we doing a better job of software development when we're rushing things out using continuous delivery, or are we doing a worse job?
I think we're doing a better job. I've been in the static analysis space for going on 11 years, even before the industry analysts even had like a magic quadrant or a report that kind of mapped to it. And people are doing the right thing, but the kind of the problem with it is it's not about finding the artifacts, finding the issues. It's about remediation. And that's where a lot of programs get saddled off track, is they have the effective program to identify but not remediate. And they do a lot of signing off on the risk. Instead of saying, let's remediate that, they say, well, you know, what's the likelihood of this happening? Well, I don't think it's going to happen. The sun, the stars, and the moon have to align. We'll sign off on the risk. But remediation is the huge aspect of any program, because the goal is to actually fix the issues, not just identify them. And a lot of times people, you know, the type of bugs you find, or, you know, whether they're critical or non-critical, a bug is a bug is a bug. If you don't act upon it, it's not going to go away. And trying to patch it on the network or with an appliance-based approach, you're not fixing the root cause. And when you have a static analysis program in a secure software development lifecycle, it allows for a remediation, but the other kind of underlying tone that you get is education. Because working on vulnerabilities that are real world to you, that are in your application, is going to teach you not how to make the same mistakes over and over again. So that's the way I view it, is the remediation and education are huge with any program, and a lot of times people just automate and don't actually remediate.
Now, you mentioned remediation and the process of learning from it. Can you expand on what you mean by that?
Sure. I mean, I'll give an example. So you say hard-coded password. There's different ways to look at vulnerabilities in code. There's semantic type issues where it's a string match. So hard-coded password, very easy to find. You could have open source tools that go out and find that, or a manual review that find, oh, password. Okay, I understand password. It's the variable name and everything in the code. But the real complexity of the applications, it's the data flow vulnerabilities that are the most dangerous. So untrusted data enters an application through a web form, through a database call, through anything like that, and traverses the application and hits an execution point. I always say source to sink or entry point to execution point. It's understanding not only the risks of the vulnerability, but how they actually propagate themselves in code. And a lot of times, the major organizations that I talk to around the world say, I want to know what developer is the worst coder. And I say, that's impossible, because the vulnerabilities that you're concerned about are probably touching 70% of your development population, because it enters in the UI tier, passes through the business logic tier, may go into the database, come back out through the business logic tier, and go back to the UI tier. So it's the data flow and the complexity that's the big issue. And understanding that, okay, where is the best place in code, the most effective place in code to fix this? And what we do is we really help identify where the best place, not just to fix the issue, but where the best place to fix it. Because thinking about those data flows, you may have, hypothetically, we'll just give an example, 50 web inputs on a web form. And they all go in through a separate data flow, but they intersect at one point in the code. If you put your code fix in there, you're actually educating yourself to fix it much more effectively, where you make one line of code change instead of making 50 unique remediation cycles or code changes.
Now, one of the trends I'm seeing in DevOps is this move towards putting more work on the shoulders of the software developers. Certainly, when we have infrastructure of a service, everything can be scripted. Now, what is the role of operations, and is operations still important today?
Yeah, I mean, I think operations is very important. I mean, you want everybody to understand the process, but I don't know any developer that wants to get into managing the build servers for a production environment. And then, you know, if you are in a high traffic system, the load balancing, the logging, everything like that. I think from an operations standpoint, they need to understand what the code is doing and how to spec the systems, and that's where they work correctly. But in my world, I don't see, you know, the developers doing everything all the way through operational. They work together instead of it being check their code into source code repository, the build happens, and then the release engineers and the operations people pick it up and deploy it. I see that there's a more better communication in DevOps, but I don't see that everybody can do everything. That's a pie in the sky, and I think haven't really seen it effectively with, you know, you read the articles, what is the definition of DevOps, and I don't see it the way it's defined. I see a hybrid approach where development and operations work well together, but they don't. Both of them can't do everything. There's a symbiotic relationship between the two that really allow for an effective program. And I think, you know, one of the things I'm frustrated with, I hear people use terms interchangeably all the time. I mean, I hear people say Agile DevOps. That's like saying car engine. It's a component of a greater program, where Agile is the software development methodology. You have CI/CD that rolls into that for the, you know, continuous integration, continuous deployment, and then you have the ongoing maintenance and monitoring and production. You know, people don't realize that with DevOps, they always say Agile DevOps. You can even do DevOps with waterfall methodologies. It's just about communication from development to operations. And I mean, you can agree or disagree. That's just what I'm seeing, and it might map up to kind of what you're hearing as well.
Now, in terms of successfully implementing DevOps, a lot of people like to say, oh, it's all about culture, and it's all about the culture change. Now, that's fine and dandy, but I can't go to a CFO and give him metrics about how the culture has changed in an organization. So how do we deal with the fact that a lot of the things that might indicate that DevOps is working and that maybe our culture is changing doesn't have any key performance metrics that can actually be evaluated?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think from a bottom line, you say that the CFO type standpoint or the business benefit of the program, the thing I like to when I give talks and everything, I say Agile in DevOps is kind of the what I consider the social media way to develop code, because it allows for a very, very flexible way to shift gears. With Waterfall, you'd have 3 months or 6 months or whatever the Waterfall development cycle or release cycle was, that you start down a path and you're down, the train's left the station, and it doesn't hit until the end of the station for a very long time, where the Agile methodologies mapping underneath that global DevOps kind of program, it allows for you to react the way people are expecting their applications, their mobile applications, their e-commerce applications, to be able to shift based on the customer need. And from a standpoint, the time to delay of a feature and function is going to be mapped. They're not going to make the investment in that in an organization. So if it's going to generate a significant amount of revenue, they want to make sure it works correctly, and they don't want to wait and hope and pray that it works 3 months, 6 months down the road. So the true benefit from a financial standpoint for an organization is allow them to shift with the pulse of their customers. So doing very, you know, short feature-rich releases that don't take a huge amount of time to get to market is going to differentiate a company and allow them to be a first mover on a new way to purchase your, I don't know, CDs, process a bank loan, all these type of things. So, and when I talk to the major customers that I talk to, this is what really drives them. And I mean, I don't know if there's a KPI, but I think the KPI would be in terms of additional revenue from being the first mover and be able to be flexible to their customers' needs or the features, functions they feel would benefit their customers best. Because again, you can move from, you know, one, you know, e-commerce platform, one gaming platform very, very quickly, because everybody knows about it these days. And if somebody has a new whiz-bang feature, they're going to get the attention of their target customer. So I you know, the culture thing, that I agree with you, it's 100% intangible. It's a way to, you know, kind of just put lipstick on a pig, if you will. I think it's more about the financial aspects and the ability to quickly change directions based on your customer needs is the real driver between, you know, an Agile-based DevOps process or, you know, an automated process from development all the way through operations.
So now Checkmarks is all about helping to secure applications. So can you tell me how it is that the products offered by Checkmarks help to take people from just doing the software development life cycle to moving into an area where they're doing a secure software development life cycle?
Sure. I mean, from my standpoint, we really are addressing a major problem for organizations, and that's the security of the applications. And Checkmarks really allows organizations, as I said earlier, to transform their software development lifecycle to a secure software development lifecycle based on the way organizations develop code today. It's a we call it a next generation or a version 2 of static analysis, because it can fit within any part of that SDLC process. That's pretty much it. I mean, I give a lot of talks and things like that on this subject, but I'm not a big commercial for the company. I just know the success our customers have had with this, with our platform, and it really does allow them to release more secure applications much quicker.
And seriously, who doesn't want to develop secure applications and develop those applications faster than before? Anyways, if you want to learn more about static analysis tools and what Checkmarks can do for you, head over to checkmarks.com. That's Checkmarks with an X at the end, or follow them on Twitter @checkmarks.